I think that's just with all those health scares that happened to me. That's how I look at things now, where I just look at the buckets of time and then work. And work is a very small portion of that. Time to me is the most important thing. So really looking at time as if it's like a business and like checks and balances and like my break even of that time. And is it in the red or is it in the black today? Like that's how I look at time as a whole.
Welcome to Gap to Gig, the show for dads navigating the in-between season, work, identity, and priorities. Start asking different questions. Here we talk about what that season looks like and how to move through it with intention. I'm your host, Michael Jacobs, and today my guest is Tony Berardo. Tony's a dad, creator, podcaster, and entrepreneur. After spending decades working with large companies, a series of health scares forced him to stop and really reevaluate what mattered most. That pause led him to build a life centered around his family, meaningful work, and connection. Today, Tony's the founder of Human Dad, hosts the Humanity and Hashtags podcast, creates content that highlights the real and messy parts of fatherhood, and helps other dads and creators build brands that actually support their lives. And at the core of everything he does is a simple belief. Show up for your family first and let the work serve that, not the other way around. Tony, I'm excited to chat with you today. Welcome to the show. I'm really glad you're here.
Michael, thanks for the intro, man, and thanks for having me. My pleasure. This is awesome.
Awesome. So your story is one a lot of dads, I think, quietly relate to, especially the moment where life forces you to kind of slow down and ask harder questions. So I kind of want to start there. You spent decades in traditional work environments before everything changed. When you look back, what were the earliest signals that something wasn't really working for you anymore?
Boredom. You know, like, yeah, you get, you know, I was stuck in a couple jobs. I mean, I've only had like, I don't know, three or four jobs in my life. I'm 40 now. And each job I was there for over 5-6 years. So I think like when I was with a company that had the 401k plan and the health benefits and like security and all that, it just wasn't like, I don't know, man, I'd wake up every day and it was like mundane. It was routine. It was the same thing every day. I wasn't getting challenged. There was no really room for advancement. And then finally I did get to a position where like I climbed the corporate ladder. I was in marketing. Everything was great. It was kind of my passion, what I wanted to do. I was only two steps below like the CMO.
Yep.
Right. So like there wasn't a whole lot of growth available after that.
Right.
So I was like, all right, this is going to be me for the next 10 years. No big deal. I'm excited. And then I was doing a lot of stuff on the side that was making me happy, including having the podcast and creating some content and things like that, that I really enjoyed doing that obviously wasn't paying at the time. And then I got laid off during the pandemic. And that's when I was kind of like, oh, okay, so this isn't secure.
Right.
Like, you work so hard to get to that place where it's like, okay, I'm good. I got the 401k. I got the longevity. Like, I'm in the game. This is the dream.
Yeah.
And then you get laid off out of your control. And then you're like, okay, now what? And that was the eye-opening thing for me, where we're always scared to kind of take the plunge and be an entrepreneur and work for yourself and all that,
right,
because of the, you know, lack of security. But when you're in a position where I was in, where I actually would rather count on myself,
yep,
than count on a corporation. Because when I got laid off, it's funny, I had all, you know, friends for decades at this job that I was at. Once you get laid off, they never talk to you again. You know, you try to reach out. Hey, what's up, bro? Happy birthday. How's things going? Nothing. Right? Yeah. Because they don't want to associate, in their defense, they don't want to associate with someone that isn't with the company anymore. Because then, you know, you post something on Instagram and then your boss sees you like, hey, man, you're hanging out with Tony. You got laid off. Like, what's going on?
Right.
You know, so it's like, it's one of those weird things where you start to really understand what's going on. And your friends that you think are your friends are not. Your boss, he doesn't really like you, even though he messages you on the side and says, hey, man, you want to grab a beer? He's not. He just wants you to be a good worker. Good worker B. Right. That's all it is. And that was the eye-opening thing for me.
Yeah. So you talked about initially boredom was kind of that first trigger for you. And then it was like,
yeah,
there was a recognition of a lack of control, right? When you're working for somebody else, you don't control your destiny per se. You do to a degree because, you know, the harder you work, the smarter you work, you know, typically, right, the higher you can climb, but that's not always the case. And in your case, like, it led to layoffs, and that was out of your control. And
that's right.
But there was also, from my understanding, you know, you went through some health issues or had some health scares. And that also kind of has a way of cutting through the noise, right? So you can be bored at your work, but you can feel like, okay, I'm still getting a paycheck. I'm still getting these benefits. Mm-hmm. But sometimes there's things beyond just work that have an effect on what you're doing. So I'm kind of curious, like, what did that period of time where you were concerned about health matters, that what did that period teach you about how you were living, not just working?
Yeah, I think, I mean, that's a good question. We can all probably relate. I mean, even if you were, you know, just having the flu.
Yeah.
When you have the flu, you don't care about work.
Right.
You're not worried about what show is on Netflix that you should watch.
Right.
You just want to get better. Yeah. So when you're sick, that's all you want to do is you just want to get better.
Right.
And I, when you have like a health scare I had, which was kind of back to back over the course of these months, and parallel to me having these health scares, which, you know, I won't bore your listeners, but quick story is they found a tumor in my lung. Thank goodness it was benign after some biopsies, but it was a pretty rough road because we didn't know what it was. Obviously, I had pneumonia for a while. They tried to put me on antibiotics. That didn't work. And then I had to get rushed to the emergency room. And turns out the tumor was in my right lobe of, or excuse me, lower lobe of my right lung. So unfortunately, they had to remove that portion of my lung. So I have a third of my right lung removed. And the recovery was gnarly and brutal. And during that time when I was in the hospital, my company at the time was very supportive. And they're like, hey, if you need anything, blah, 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 blah. I was still getting paid. And then when I found out I was about to get discharged, that's when I got laid off.
Oh, my. That is.
So turns out, though, they told me, the owner called me up afterwards. Like, hey, listen, man, we don't want to be an asshole, but we were laying off a lot of people because of budget strains. And, we weren't making money.
Right.
And we didn't want to lay you off the day you went in the hospital. So we tried to push it as long as we could. But, you know, this is just where we're at. And now the company is completely bankrupt. So I don't hate them for that because they did what they had to do. Right. But imagine I got discharged, that happened. And then the day I got discharged, my father-in-law passed away.
Oh, what?
So I couldn't even hug my wife because I was, you know, completely stitched up and sore. And I decided not to take any pain medication, which was a good decision in hindsight, but obviously sucks because it was extremely brutal.
Right.
So imagine like I couldn't hug my wife because I couldn't, you know, she was grieving.
Yeah.
She's also trying to be strong and she's there for me, you know, and she doesn't want to kind of be like, hey, give me the love, because she knew I was at rock bottom at that point. And, you know, we're trying to struggle financially, like what to do.
Yeah.
And then just mentally, we also were dealing with IVF, trying to get pregnant. And we spent about $250,000 in the course of 3 years to try to get pregnant through a bunch of rounds. So that obviously took a toll on her and me as well, mostly her physically.
Sure.
So imagine all this stuff was coupling just in a couple months. And that's when I really looked around and I was like, I don't care where I work, because this is what's important. It's my wife, it's trying to have a kid, it's being there for her, it's being there for each other, because you're going to get these struggles throughout life, whether it's, you know, health scares, family tragedy, getting laid off, like all that's relatable, I think, to some extent, especially as you get older, right? Because our parents and grandparents aren't going to be here forever.
Right.
So I think understanding and having a perspective of what really is important, but have that perspective before this shit happens.
Yes.
That's what I learned, is I didn't really understand any of this of what I'm saying until it all happened. And then I realized, oh, okay, I really need to get my shit together. And I didn't have a perspective of, hey, family's the most important thing. The career is really not where I need to focus a lot of my time on. And I think this is the problem, right? Because especially as men, we always think, hey, if we work harder, make more money, everyone's going to be happy, right? I could take care of my wife, take care of my kid.
Yep.
That's the wrong attitude to have.
Right.
You know, you don't really understand until, like, you can Google this map online, but I looked at this, or you can Google this graph online, and I looked at it and it really opened up my eyes, especially during this rough time in my life, where from the age 0 to age, let's call it 16, you're not working, right? You're with your parents, you're having fun, you're hanging out with friends, yada, yada, yada. Once you're like 16, 17, 18, you start to work.
Right.
And from 18 to 65, you work. Then from 65, if you're lucky, you make it to 80.
Right.
So from 65 to 80, you're supposed to retire.
Right.
That's less than 20 years that you're supposed to travel the world and do all the good stuff you want to do when you're 65 years old.
And you're not peak of your health at that point either.
Fucking bananas to why? What are we doing?
Right.
So my attitude is from 18 to 65, do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to be an artist and a freelancer, do that. If you want to be a stay-at-home dad and make money, you know, by reviewing products on Amazon, do that.
Right.
You know, this whole like attitude that we need to we need to work so hard to get like the perfect plan when we're 65, and then when you retire, you'll have plenty of money to do fuck all, because what are you going to do at 65, right? Like, and again, this all those things kind of coupled together to give me the attitude that I have now.
Yeah, that's an incredible journey. I'm not even sure how to phrase it exactly, but we'll call it a journey.
And sorry, that was a long-winded answer.
No.
It's hard to cover.
It was to have to deal with so many large impacts at the same time, right? Getting discharged from the hospital, you're clearly not physically 100%. You're sufficient enough to be able to go home, right? But you're not, right? You can't go out and like play basketball or pretty much do much physically, right? And the job that you depended on for, and you've worked so hard for the past however many years, no longer exists. And your father-in-law goes. So now you lose somebody very close to you, and you're trying to go through IVF, and you want to be there to support your wife. Physically, you can't even give her a hug, but yes, you are physically present and you can emotionally be there. At that point, I think for a lot of us, it would be very easy to just be like, to almost give up and just be like, I'm just going to let this pass and I'll figure things out. And whatever happens, happens. But you, to me, you come across somebody who took that journey and was like, okay, I'm going to learn from this journey and evolve it into something that is going to make me happier in the long run. But it doesn't just affect you, right? At that point, it's like, okay, it's going to make my family better in the long run. Right? Because I'm going to do something that's going to make me happier, make me feel more stable. Even if I don't have that stable 9-to-5 with the 401k and the insurance benefits, I'm going to be more mentally proactive, which is going to make me emotionally more available. It's going to make me, you know, be there for those that I care about, family, friends, whoever it may be. Right? So like, you could have taken different paths, and the path you chose is really interesting, because I think a lot of people will be like, okay, yeah, well, I guess I'm gonna have to just go get another job, right? And I'll just find something and I'll just kind of, I'm gonna go right back into the same routine I was in before. And for some people, that's great. And that's what they want. They crave that routine. But for you, you recognize, I mean, you realized early on that like boredom was an issue for you, right? Like my first job out of college, I was bored. Like it wasn't challenging. And I went and talked to one of my professors, you know, 6 months into my job. And I was like, you know, I really just, this job doesn't challenge me. I'm bored. And I'm like, I keep asking for more work and I just can't, they're not giving me anything that's challenging enough. And she's like, you know what? Just pay attention to what you don't like right now, what's not working. Because when you get to that next stage of your career and that next stage of your life, you can figure out what works for you and what doesn't. So you don't have to make the same mistakes that they're making with you now. And that kind of just like, it was a huge mind shift for me, right? Or mindset shift.
It's good advice.
Right. And so
you
essentially, to me, did the same thing. You're like, I don't have to go back to the same routine I was in before. I can make something for myself. And that meant, you know, stepping back from your 9-to-5, finding something that you were more passionate about, right? So you took this conglomeration of incredible negativity or negative events, right? And you turned them into something that worked for you, which it's not easy. I'm sure you had days where you struggled and were like, I'm not sure what I'm going to do next. And maybe you didn't. Maybe it was just like the flawless, you know, I'm out of the hospital today and tomorrow I'm like super happy and I know exactly what I'm doing, right? There, it took steps to get there, but you knew that this was a direction you wanted to head and you went for it. Right. And sometimes it's just taking that first step to going for it. So it's just what an incredible journey. And I just admire how you decided to just go for it and just do it, right? And you didn't know what was going to come of it, but now you have this flourishing podcast, you have this apparel line, you're doing all sorts of things that make you happy. Like, you're smiling when I mention it, right? I bet you, you know, during the pandemic, before you lost your job, if I started, telling you or explained to you what your job was, you wouldn't have that same smile on your face that you do now when I mention your apparel line, when I mention, you know, your podcast. Yeah. So you've done something with it. You took those steps. I think that's super inspirational. I really think that's super cool. So I want to ask you then, you know, you've said that you make less money now and you're okay with that because you're happier, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
How did you kind of redefine your success for yourself once you did put your family first?
It's hard to, when I say all this, people are going to be like, but we got to pay our mortgage and, you know, it's scary. I get it. But you don't really, I guess you'll just never know unless you have some shit go down, you know, like in your life to where it'll kind of force you to do so.
Right.
You know, because here's the thing that I tell a lot of people. If we were having this conversation 20 years ago, I'd be telling a different story.
Right.
Right. But we're in a world where you can make money in your PJs. Like my bottom half, I'm in PJs right now. I mean, I got a nice shirt on, but my bottom half, I'm in PJs and I'm going to be in PJs all day working. There's people that work all over the world. You know, I got buddies that work in Bali that work for a United States company, but they spend time in Bali and they're moving things around to make sure they could pay their taxes accordingly.
Right.
But they're having a great time in Bali with their family. So we're just in a very cool time. And I think you got to get out of your mindset of what's going on and what your dad told you.
Yep.
Because it's different now. You know, it's being a father in 2026 is different than being a father in 1995.
Absolutely.
You know, in 1995, your mortgage was $600 and your house cost $35,000.
Right.
Right. Cable was a $30 a month bill.
Yep.
Right. Your total expenses might be $1,000 a month household.
Yep.
Now they're close to $4,000 a month.
Right.
And, you know, when you look on paper, you're like, oh, well, dads must be making more money. No, if you factor in inflation, we're actually spending over 50% of our income on bills. So what does that tell you? Well, that tells you a few things. Number one, you have to live below your means because shit's expensive now in America. Or you got to get out of the country and go somewhere else and have an American job, which you can do.
Right.
But then you, again, I think we all think about the wrong things, which is, you know, what can I do to make sure my family is successful and happy? And you always equate that to money. And that is just the wrong mentality to have.
100%.
So I think when I had this scare, it was easy to make this shift because even still to today, I mean, I get job offers all the time that are $250,000 of your salary, which is twice as much as what I make now. But I'd have to be away working in an office 3 days a week. Fuck that. Why would I do that? Again, I go back to that graph where I talked about why would I work from the age of 18 to 65 in an office when my kid is at childcare for the first 5 years of her life? And then she goes to school and then I don't see her until she gets back. And then we go to soccer practice and then we have dinner together and then she goes to bed. I'm spending 3 hours a day with my kid. That's, again, 20 years ago, different situation.
Right.
We are in a very cool shift in every aspect from culture to finances to what the American dream is. Just take your time, do some research. It is so easy to do what you really want to do, make money, and also be able to be a great husband and a great father. Yeah. It's just we're scared to do it. And I think it's okay that you take the risk for a little bit. No matter what age you are. I mean, I was 35 when I made this switch.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people say, oh, at 35, you should have your shit together and you should have a house and, you know, you should have like a $10,000 saved in your bank account. But come on, dude, like there's no perfect plan.
Right.
So you can get hit by a truck tomorrow. It's just, what are you doing to make sure you are happy every day? Cause that is one thing you mentioned all the stuff that happened to me. That was the worst time in my life.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of things that allowed me to push through was two things. Number one, having a great spouse that helps. But number two is just my mental and physical health. You know, I've always been into working out and fitness. I didn't drink. I still don't drink. I've been sober for years. So that helped during this time, right? Because drinking obviously is going to lead to depression. And when I did have that surgery and everything, I wasn't on Oxy. Of course, they gave me like the craziest narcotic.
Yeah.
So I refused to take that. So I was clear-headed and I embraced the pain. Because I was like, that means I'm alive still and things are good.
Yeah.
So I think that helped. I was clear-headed. I was focused and I was able to bounce back quick because I was mentally and physically tough. I had a good spouse and I wasn't all doped up on booze and narcotics.
Right.
So again, I think we need to look at our life and see what we're doing on a daily basis. I mean, if you're going out with your buddies and having a beer five times a week, okay, do what you got to do. But don't expect to wake up in the morning and be like gung-ho, ready to rock and roll and kick ass today.
Right.
Don't expect to be the best father in the world when you're hungover. I mean, these are all things that on paper, someone explains this to you like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
Right.
But you're doing the opposite. Right. You're being a shitty human and you're not focusing on your health.
Right.
And you're surprised that your job isn't what you want it to be. You're not the best husband that you want to be. You're not the best father that you want to be. You know, it's not shocking. This is quite literally the easiest thing on the planet.
Right.
We just have to kind of change our mindset a little bit.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's so easy to fall into the routine, right? And if your routine is go out and drink a beer with your buddies every night after work, well, why change that, right? Because it's just so easy to do. And that's just, it's the habit you've built. But it's easy to change if you're willing to make that change, right? Like you, at the end of the day, you still have to take care of yourself, right? Because you won't be there for the people that are important to you if you don't take care of yourself too, right? Like earning a living, important, yes, right? Everybody's got to keep a roof over their heads, feed their families, et cetera. Being there for your partner, for your children, for the people that are important to you, also extremely important, right? Because you want them to be successful, be happy, be healthy, and you can directly contribute to that by being present for them. But you can't do that if you don't take care of yourself, right? And and it's both physically and mentally and emotionally that you need to make sure you do craft time for yourself, but you have to do it in a way that's not destructive, I think is what you're alluding to here, of just like, yeah, you could have those beers, but are you going to be ready to go the next day? Right. Mm-hmm. And so
nailed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it's, yes, you have to take care of yourself and you have to kind of make those decisions for yourself. And that's the same thing with your job, right? Like, okay, you're not happy in your job. You want to start doing something on your own. Yes, you could quit today and go for broke and hope you are successful. Or maybe you just take a step. Maybe you set up a website for yourself in your free time to start promoting yourself so that you can start to bring in some other income so that you can eventually leave your job, right? There's more than one way to approach finding the work that is meaningful to you, right?
And if I may add to that, you know, one thing that really helped me is during all this time that it happens, about 4 years prior, on the side, on the weekends, I had the podcast.
Yeah.
And I was making content for brands already. So I was doing that on the weekends, not when I was working. And I really enjoyed doing that. So it was a side hustle and I was barely making any money, like definitely not enough to go full time.
Right.
So like when I did get laid off, it kind of was an easy switch to me to just be like, hey, I'm already making like $500 a month doing this. Why don't I just do it 7 days a week instead of two?
Yep.
And let's see what happens for you.
Right.
You know? So I think that's one thing, is having a hobby / side hustle during your current work schedule, right? After work or weekends. And then number one, have that side hustle. Number two, be frugal for 6 months, meaning cut down your streaming services from, you know, 10 streaming services to one for 6 months. That way you're saving $600, right? Maybe instead of going to Starbucks four times a week, you go zero times a week. You know, like little things like cut your expenses down so your break even is low for that 6 months. And within 6 months, imagine maybe you save $5,000. Doesn't seem like a lot of money, but now it gives you kind of the flexibility and the comfortability to do some more shit as a side hustle without worrying about the stress of money, yeah. right? And that's what we did. And it really helped us because obviously I was unemployed for a while. And then once we kind of had that stash of savings from having this mentality prior to it happening, right. always being prepared for, you know, some type of catastrophic negative event in your life yeah. and having that money stashed away. So we weren't stressed about money at that point, but it was allowing me to have the flexibility to kind of take some risks. And I opened up a company and shut down a company within a year that wasn't really working, that I was passionate about. And then I was deciding to go all into the content thing. And now I've been, you know, 3 years of doing it full time. And thankfully, obviously we've had a kid since then. She is about 2.5 now. So it's been great. You know, I've been able to be home full time with my kid, and my wife also works from home. So we kind of share responsibilities halfway through the day. And then once she was born, I always kind of had this idea of having the apparel brand, but it wasn't necessarily a dad apparel brand. But once I became a father, as you know, it's like your entire identity.
Yes.
So I decided to kind of go all in, and I saw a gap in the market, which is, you know, every dad apparel brand to me is the same.
Yep.
You know, it's neutral colors, it's boring slogans, you know, number one dad,
right?
Like, you know, world's greatest father, and like all that shit. And, you know, that's all great and everything, but I wanted to make an apparel brand that's a little bit more relatable. Yep. You know, like our slogan is for the perfectly imperfect fathers. And, you know, I think a lot of dads can relate to that, to where, you know, not everything is sunshine and rainbows as a dad. And we kind of embrace that, you know, at Human Dad. And that's something I'm super excited about, because I know I'm not going to not be a father.
Yeah.
So it's going to be at least 18 years, right? So I'm like, I might as well just go all in on this thing. And it's been one of the greatest things ever.
That's awesome. I love how Human Dad, it feels so honest, authentic, right? Like you said, it's not the number one dad that everybody claims to be, right? Yeah. It's not just like the slogans, it's the design itself is modern, right? It's what I think a lot of us as dads feel is more in line with our identity. Why do you think that dads crave that kind of authenticity now?
I think, you know, it's probably what we've been fed for 20 years on social media, you know, like the get ready with me videos and the parenting tips that you see, and, you know, all this shit that we see on the internet. That's so beautiful.
Right.
And that ain't it, right, man.
That, so staged, too.
Yeah, it's all staged. It's all trending music and stuff. And don't get me wrong, as a content creator, like, I've been known to do that, but I do a lot of videos that are de-influencing, is what I call it. So like, I'll de-influence parenting, or I'll de-influence sleep training. Like, I do a whole series on TikTok about sleep training, to where I give you like the real nitty gritty of what it's really like, not the whole pretty thing that you see from like some moms. I give you kind of like what it's like from a dad's perspective. So I think that's what we need, and we crave that, because we've had like reality TV for so long,
right?
You know, but you got to pull back the curtain.
Yeah.
And see the real deal. Because I think people, A, gravitate more towards that, but also I think people just learn from that more, you know, because it's relatable. When we see, you know, a show like The Kardashians, it might be entertaining, but you're not relating to that. You're not learning from that, you know. But when you see like a show like Ridiculousness, I think we all love it because like, oh, that's hilarious. Right. Like, it's like I could see myself doing that.
Right.
You know, like, it's, I've made the mistakes, and I think it's more impactful and fun that way. So that's what I'm striving to do with my content in the business.
Love that. So there's, like I said, it's almost like a pressure to be perfect, right? Like, that is, especially on social media, it's like they're trying to show perfection. And reality TV is the same way. It's so heavily produced often that it's not reality per se anymore, right? It's this perfect version. And I think for a lot of dads, there's a pressure to be both a perfect dad and be successful, whether they're an entrepreneur, a creator, or even just in their job of their 9-to-5. How do you personally keep yourself grounded when that pressure kind of creeps in to be perfect and successful?
You know, I think I try to put myself in my daughter's shoes. You know, like we talk about just being perfect. I take a moment and I put myself in her shoes where I kind of get on her level. And what is she thinking about?
Yeah.
Right. Like, is she thinking about bills? Is she thinking about that email I got to send out before 5 p.m.? Is she thinking, like, what? The only thing she's thinking about, the only thing she's thinking about is, Daddy, come here.
Yeah.
And that to me keeps me grounded, where it's like, I don't need to buy her a new toy for her to hang out with me. I just need to put the phone down and look at her in her eyes.
Yep.
That's it. And that being present is not about anything else except for doing what they want you to do, which is, you're not perfect and you're never going to be perfect. And by the way, newsflash, neither is your daughter.
Right.
Neither is your son. Yep. And that's totally cool. That's okay.
Right.
Like, you could do everything that every book tells you to do, and they're going to do what they're going to do.
Yep.
You know, it's, you have to understand that when we got to strip away these titles and these objectives and like all this stuff, like, be the best parent you can be, but we also don't want to overanalyze it.
Right.
You know, because it is quite simple, which is, they just want your attention.
Yep.
And, you know, I think we're in a very scary time with AI and social media and the fact that it's growing minute by minute, that our attention is getting more and more captured by these devices.
Yeah.
And it's not allowing us to be the best husband, the best father. It's forcing us rather to do the opposite,
right,
without even knowing it.
Yeah.
And by the time you figure it out, it might be too late.
Right.
So we really got to be more intentional about how we're spending our time. And that is difficult, right? Because whether you're a freelancer, you work for yourself, or you're in a corporate, like, the phone might be your life.
Yeah.
And, you know, if that's what you want to do, all, you know, more power to you. But if you have a kid, you have a responsibility.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly. You have to.
These little humans don't know what the hell's going on. And you got to really teach them in the next 18 years how to be a good human.
Right.
And you cannot do that if you're on your phone all the time.
Yep. Couldn't agree with you more. And that's why you end up having to model the behavior, right? So, like, if you're going to be on your phone in front of your kids, that's what they're going to expect, is what's expected of them.
Right.
And it makes it, you know, you could tell your kids anything in the world, but if you do the opposite,
right,
they're going to most likely follow what you did, not what you said. Right.
So, yeah. Yeah. Well, what's the saying? It goes, kids don't always listen to what you say, but they 100% do what you do.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly. So if that means, like, you know, being on your phone, well, expect your kids to be distracted by their phones, especially as they grow older. And it's not easy, right?
Yeah.
It is, you know, it's like, for you sure, said, like, if your work is showing up on your phone, if you're getting emails and phone calls and stuff, it's not always easy to turn that off, but maybe to find some dedicated time, or if, like, yes, you know, you have this half an hour in the morning before work starts where you can hang with your daughter phone free, you know, phone in the other room, and just give her your 100% presence. I think that's important. I think, you know, somebody said earlier of, you're not always going to be perfect. Neither is your child, right? I think it's also important to model imperfection, right? You can't give them, I don't think it's appropriate to give your children something that they can't actually do, right? You can't model perfection, and you can't expect them to be perfect. And it's when you model imperfection for them, you show them how to handle the downs, right? The ups and the downs. So it's like, when something does go wrong, how do you respond to that? When you do respond incorrectly, when you do have an outburst that you didn't mean to have, how do you respond to that? How do you own up to it? And how do you teach them of, like, okay, that wasn't okay, and this is how you acknowledge it, and this is how you move on and try to prevent it going forward. But as dads, 100%. Like, it's our responsibility to teach them that by modeling that behavior, of owning up to it,
yeah,
and, like, acknowledging that, yeah, I'm not perfect, and that's okay. And you're not going to be perfect either, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But here's what happens when you aren't perfect.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And I think, you know, even if, you know, just going back to like the film point and our imperfections that we have, I think explaining it as it's happening is important too. There was a lady that's she was a pediatrician and an author of a kid's book that she was recently on my podcast. And she gave me some really great advice that I thought was unbelievable that I've been starting to do. And I've seen some great results, which is if you do have to grab your phone or open up your laptop or something like that, explain to your kid what you're doing. So like, even if they're 2 years old and you know, you want to check the weather,
yep.
Just pick up your phone and say, well, hold on, sweetie, I'm going to play with you real quick, but daddy's going to check the weather on his phone real fast. And I'm going to put down my phone. Hold on. Okay. It's going to be 55 degrees and it's going to be sunny all day. Okay, great. All right. So what do you want to show me?
Yep.
And being very into, cause they are much smarter than we think. Yes. And when you give intentionality behind what you're doing versus saying nothing,
yep.
And then scrolling, that's all they see.
Right.
They have no idea. All they know is the phone is more important than them.
Yep.
And internally, that to them is a defeat.
Right.
So if you have to pick up your phone, have some intention behind it and explain what you're doing.
Yep.
So that way they know there is boundaries to that and that they are important. It's just you got to do something real quick and that's okay.
Right.
And again, same thing like when our kid and everyone that has a toddler knows that this goes down. When your kid interrupts you talking when you're trying to talk to your spouse,
right.
Look at them and say, hey, sweetie, I'm talking to mommy right now. We're just talking about our day real quick, but you're next. We're going to ask you about your day. Just hold on 1 second. We're going to finish talking, okay? And then as you're talking, they understand, oh, there is boundaries,
yep.
Right? And now they know you're not interrupting them. You're just talking to mommy.
Right.
And I think it's hard to get in that narrative. It's hard to like become the narrator of your own story and kind of explain everything that you're doing to this little human. But they've only been around the planet for 24 months, man.
Right.
You know, they don't know what's going on. And I think this is, again, I go back to switching our mentality to slow down a little
bit. Yes.
And really understand what is happening. And if this seems like a lot, it is. You're raising a human.
Yep.
It's a very big responsibility. And you don't have to take it seriously, but don't be shocked at the age of 10 that your kid's a psychopath.
Right. Right.
You know, like it's, we really have to start thinking this is a huge responsibility and you are molding them to either be a good human when they get older or a bad human. And they always say, well, the parent isn't fully the reason why the kid's bad. Yeah, probably not fully. But again, if you raise a good human and they go out into the world to shitty humans, most likely they got a better chance of surviving if they're a good person.
Right.
That behavior is modeled in these younger years of life. So it's very important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I love that advice of explain to them what you're doing, like the intention behind it. And I think even
crazy
going that next step of explaining why, like I'm checking the weather. So you figure out when is the right time that we can go out. Right. Cause maybe it's going to rain for the next 2 hours. So now I know, you know, at 1 p.m. today, we'll be able to go out and go for our walk, right? We can't go now,
love that.
But I'm going to check the weather just so we can determine what time we can go for our walk. Or I need to check this message because this person is going to email me a new order so I can send them some t-shirts, right? Like
exactly.
Just giving them that explanation. And I think that also will lead to some creative questions back from them. Well, why? Like, you know,
right.
What is it? Why do people want t-shirts or whatever? And it can open up a new discussion that you weren't expecting that will then help them create new memories and new ideas and new thoughts and ways to be creative and ways, things that they might be interested in or determine things that they're not interested in. Right.
Right. So great. Yeah. It's a great point.
So I love that idea of just like explaining the intention behind what you have to do.
It's changed everything for me for sure. And also just an added bonus to that is it allows you to not scroll.
Yes.
Like you're not doom scrolling because there's no, unless you're lying to your kid,
right.
There's no reason for you to pick up your phone. You're explaining what you're doing and then just ignoring them. Right.
Yep.
Like you're probably not going to pick up your phone and say, hey, hold on one sec, sweetie. Just want 1 minute. I want to check TikTok to see what's trending right now. And then I'm going to scroll for the next hour and do nothing with my life. Hold on 1 second. Okay. Right. You're not going to do that, obviously. At least I hope you won't.
Hope not.
So I think it allows you to kind of reframe
yep.
your mindset
yeah.
along scrolling. Because let's be honest, we're all addicted to these yes. things because they're awesome. I mean, they're great tools. There's not one video on TikTok that isn't funny.
Yeah.
Like everybody on TikTok is hilarious.
Right.
It's the greatest app ever created. But because of that, similar to like meth, it's addicting.
Yes.
And when you try meth one time, I would imagine it's fantastic and you don't want to stop. Right. So here's how you don't get addicted to meth. Don't try meth.
Right.
Best solution, yep. right? So kind of the same thing with your phone. If you don't want to be addicted to your phone, just put it down.
Yep.
And eventually you will form a habit of not being so addicted
right.
to it.
Absolutely. It all sounds so easy and it's all going to be perfect and everything, but again, it's going to be imperfect. And I'll tell you, even when they get to their teenage years, they will still interrupt a conversation between you and your partner.
Right? No matter what you say.
They have no idea like that there's another conversation going on at the same time. And they could be literally sitting right there at the same table as you.
Yeah.
Right. But embrace the imperfection, right? And teach them how to respond when they do have those imperfect moments. You talk a lot about, you know, making sure you have that time with your daughter, the importance of being there with her and for her. And, yeah. you know, for a lot of dads, they think balance means equal time everywhere, right? Like I put in a certain amount of time work, I put in a certain amount of time at home, and maybe I get a certain amount of time for fun. And on the surface, okay, yeah, maybe that makes sense, right? It's like, it's an easy way to divide things up. Everything's equal. But how do you define balance now in a way that actually works for you in your real life?
That's a good question. I mean, I definitely think of it like in pockets. Like in order to balance a life, the work-life balance thing is, I don't subscribe to that. To me, that's stupid. Because your life shouldn't be balanced with work.
Yep.
Like work is part of your life.
Yes.
Sure. But it's a very, very small part of life. At least it should be.
Right.
So I think doing what you can to make sure bills are getting paid and you're doing what you got to do. But just understanding that it is a job. And if you're struggling to pay bills, it might not be because of your job isn't paying you enough. Maybe you're just spending too much money on bills.
Yep.
So what are those bills? And that's where you got to kind of figure out how much money you're actually wasting on bills. And I'm not talking about mortgage and electric. I'm talking about, you know, your miscellaneous stuff, right? Like the Starbucks runs and yeah. like all those things you're spending money on. If you spend less money, you'll actually be able to save more money, which means you won't be as stressed.
Yep.
Ergo, you'll be able to spend more time with your family. So for me, I think there's checks and balances when it comes to that. But just personally, for myself to balance it, I always kind of look at it in a couple buckets. Number one is, okay, work, but am I doing what I love?
Yep.
And the things I'm not liking right now, I don't do. So maybe you outsource that.
Right.
Like if you're like me, I outsource a lot of stuff that I don't want to do. I'm making less money because of that, obviously, clearly. Right. But to me, time is the most important
yep.
thing. So, you know, when I look at my work, yeah, I'm enjoying it, but I need to make sure I have time. So then what does that mean? Well, for me, time is the most important thing, and I want to spend time with my wife and my kids. So when a buddy of mine says, hey, bro, you want to meet up and, you know, go for a beer or, you know, go out to dinner or whatever, I'm like, yeah, great. You bring in your wife and kid? He's like, no. I'm like, I'm good, man, but let's meet up some other time.
Yep.
And that doesn't mean I don't love the guy. Like, I would love to do it, but if you're not, like, I just don't want to leave my wife and kid.
Right.
And again, that's kind of like a weird thing to say because a lot of people are like, well, sometimes you need, you know, you time. Do you see my kid around right now? I'm having me time. I'm enjoying this conversation, Michael. Like, it's just how I look at my time now is different because to me, having a good time with a buddy that wants to just drink and talk shit about how much he hates his job.
Yeah.
It's just not constructive to me anymore.
Right.
Like when my 20s, I really enjoyed it because it was great to talk shit about work and,
right.
you know, make fun of your boss.
Right.
But now I'm 40 years old and you know, every moment is so precious to me because it could be your last.
Yeah.
And I think that's just with all those health scares that happened to me, that's how I look at things now, where I just look at the buckets of time and then work. And work is a very small portion of that. Time to me is the most important thing. So really looking at time as if it's like a business and like checks and balances and like my break even of that time and is it in the red or is it in the black today? Like, that's how I look at, that's how I look at time as a whole. And especially because our kid's so young now.
Right.
I feel like it's, as you know, man, just last year, she was 1 year old. She was barely talking. She just started walking. And now she's running all over the place saying full sentences. And it's like, what the fuck happened? And then you start having these like crazy visions of, oh shit, she's going to get her license and have a car. And then it's like, I need to be here as much as I can.
Yes.
Because when she's out, that's when I'll have a beer and hang out with my buddy.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And if they don't want to wait that long, all right, fuck you.
Yep.
I don't know what to tell you.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's how I look at it.
Yeah. I love that. It's a great perspective. It's a, you know, you have to find what energizes you, and you've identified for yourself, you're getting your energy from your family first, right?
Right.
That is, to you, something that is bringing you more joy and more energy than making fun of your boss. And nowadays, you can't make fun of your boss because you are your own boss.
Right.
I mean, you can, but like, what purpose is that going to serve?
That's right.
Right. So it's,
yeah. And by the way, I want to preface by saying, it doesn't mean that what I'm doing is the correct thing.
Right.
That's just what makes it. That's what I like to do.
Right.
So
exactly.
If you are the guy that likes to talk shit about your, but that's totally cool. All good. If that makes you happy, then I think that's important, because if you're happy, then you're going to be a better father.
Yes.
Because you do go out with buddies and play video games and drink and whatever. That's fine.
Right.
So that, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying you need to be self-aware.
Absolutely.
Of what that is. And you need to go all in on that shit.
Right. You have to find what brings you energy and positivity right now. And that is an individual choice, right? For everybody, it's different.
For sure.
For you, it's
totally
hanging out with your family. For somebody else, it could be, you know, going out and playing around a golf, or it could be reading a book, right? Or it could just be going for a walk. Whatever it may be, you got to find what works for you to bring you the energy so that you can be there to do the things that are important to you, whether that is, you know, spending time with your family or earning a living. Like, you can't do those things that well if you're not energized yourself to do it. And so
totally.
You do have to take care of yourself. And for you, taking care of yourself means spending more time with your family, right?
Nailed it.
Right? And so it's just, everybody's different, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Right? But it's just finding what it is that does bring you energy. So your perspective is, I love it. It's just, it's easy to recognize after the fact of like, yeah, that's what brings me energy. It's making that choice to begin with of like, yeah, maybe I'm not going to go out tonight, right? That is where, if you can take a moment, like you said earlier, if you can slow things down a little bit and just be like, okay, you know what? That's not going to bring me the energy I need right now. I've had a long, tough day. Is drinking a beer going to solve it for me? No. For somebody else, maybe. But for you personally, no, that's not what's going to bring it. It's hanging out, playing with your kid. Like, that's going to bring you some energy. And that's what you got to do. And it takes time to recognize those things, right? Like, you're not going to realize like what brings you energy, and those things change over time. But like you said, it is personal to you, right? That's what works for you.
Yeah. And, you know, I think a lot of this has to do with, you know, again, I'm 40, right? So I'm not saying I'm going to die tomorrow, but I'm just saying, well, like when I was 20, dude, like me and my buddy, Scott, best friend in the world, I've known for over 20 years. We have done so much shit and we partied so much, and I have hooked up with so many girls. Like, I've had an unbelievably irresponsibly gorgeous, gorgeous decade, maybe two, of my life, where I just went ballistic, and it was fantastic. And I would not regret any minute of it, even though they were all bad decisions, but I had so much fun.
Right.
So now I just have no desire to do such things.
Yep.
You know, I don't have a desire to follow the hot chick on Instagram with the nice ass anymore. Yep. It's not a thing anymore, right? Because it's a temptation. Like, again, if you don't want to get hooked on meth, don't do meth, right?
Yep.
If you don't want to cheat on your wife, don't follow the girl on Instagram. Like, that's probably the best solution.
Exactly.
So, you know, again, I just think because of my age, like you said, and time and kind of how that catches up to you, even if you don't have any like health issues or anything like that, I just think as you get older, you start to understand what you want in life and what's important.
Yep.
So I think if you are 20 and you're listening to this, even if you're a father, dude, have a couple shots of tequila every week. Like, it's all good. Do what you got to do. Just understand that the long-term benefits of that. What are they?
Right. You know? Yeah. And it's like, you know, life goes in phases or seasons. Like I kind of look at it as different seasons, right? What I was doing in my 20s, I had my first kid when I was 28, 29, something like that. Like my late 20s is very different than my early and mid 40s, right? We're different seasons and that's okay, right? So what works for you now might not work for you 5 years from now, right? But it works for you now. It's great. It's bringing you energy. You're happy. You're the people you surround yourself with, you care about, they're happy. Great. Keep at it, right? And recognize what it is that's helping, you know, everyone to be so happy.
Totally.
But also be okay with change. Like things will slow down, things will speed up. And it's just recognizing where you are in the moment, like what season you're in. And like you said, like you had your fun years and now your definition of fun is different. And that's okay. Right. You're in a different season.
Right? Totally. Yeah. Great perspective. Yeah. So, for sure.
You know, on the, you talk a lot about fun, right? You certainly had some fun times in your life. It sounds like on the flip side of that, you know, as dads, things can get overwhelming sometimes. So when you feel overwhelmed, what's your kind of personal reset? Something that kind of helps you return to help you show up better at home?
Working out. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I've always been into fitness, but I mean, just yesterday, matter of fact, I had a really rough start of the week. And like our daughter has been doing great sleeping wise, but now she's in this thing where even if there's something little that upsets her, she like freezes and she doesn't respond. You know, I don't know if you could relate to this where it's like, you know, like the other day she goes, we're like, hey, did you say you wanted to wear your princess dress? And she goes, and she's pointing and the girl can speak a lot. Like she's doing full paragraphs.
Yeah.
So it's intentional,
right?
She just neurologically, they shut down if they're upset. And it's like this fight or flight response. Yep. So you can't get mad at it. You try not to.
Right.
But she's been doing it a lot lately for like the littlest things. So we kind of have to, you know, regulate ourselves and come down to center.
Yep.
And once she starts playing, she's fine. But now I'm starting to understand after like a week of that, it takes a toll on you.
Yep.
And for me to reset mentally and to get right, because that drains you, as you know, like trying to have these conversations and these tantrums, and she doesn't want to go outside because it's cold and she doesn't want to wear a jacket, like all these things are. So just yesterday she had like 2 hours straight of like every 10 minutes she was having these meltdowns. Yeah. And after a while, I went to my wife. I was like, hey, can you watch for a sec? I hop in the garage and I do like 20 minutes, kettlebells and just going hardcore. And releasing that aggression, but also lifting up my dopamine and just really putting in the energy that you're kind of mentally clogged with, releasing that physically and getting your dopamine up and just sweating a little bit and then going, you know, taking a nice cold shower, just waking up, getting ready to rock and roll. Right. And I go back in and she had two more tantrums and bro, I did not give a shit. It's fascinating. Yeah, when you're riding on that dopamine, the difference, and I should say 3 days before that was the last time I worked out, right? So I'm going on 72 hours of not working out. So I'm already like, my body's like, bro, you need to lift up some shit.
Yeah. Right.
So once I did that, though, I felt way better. And I think you have to find that, whether that's drawing for you or reading a book or going outside for a run, like whatever that is to you, I think it's so important to just get that out because you are a better person when that happens. Right.
I think
that's what it is to me.
Yeah. What's really interesting to me is you said 20 minutes, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't always have to be like this big grand use of time, right? Like you don't need the day off necessarily, right? Like 20 minutes in the garage and you're like reset, right? And it could be, like you said, it could be going for a run. It could be working out. It could be drawing or reading. You know, it could just be 5 minutes of mindfulness. Like you just have to find your thing that kind of helps you reset and kind of bring down that overwhelm that, or whatever it is, that's kind of building up that tension. And for you, it's like 20 minutes in the garage working out, boom, quick shower, ready to go. And you are much more present because you're not being weighed down by the tension or the overwhelming feeling that you had before that workout. Right. Yeah. And it's like, these are things that we can kind of work into our day. Okay. You only have 5 minutes. What can you do in that 5 minutes? Like what can you do in that time that the water's boiling before you make the pasta, right? That just calm yourself down. Is it, you know, 5 minutes of meditation? Is it, you know, doing some push-ups? Is it just reading for a few minutes, get your mind off things? You can find those little pockets to just reset yourself a little bit. And it's working out. I love that. I think that's it's an easy one for you, right? Because it's like go in the garage and you do it and it's right. Yeah. And I think for other dads, like sometimes we overthink it and are like, I don't know what to do now. Like I'm just overwhelmed. What's that next step? And it's like, just take one step, go in the garage and lift some kettlebells or go for a quick walk, right? Or just breathe, right? Take some deep breaths. Like it doesn't have to be this complex thing. It doesn't have to be this all day, you know, multi-day thing where you have to, you know, go on a silent retreat. Like, no, you can just, you can.
Yeah. Or even like, you know, getting this like look up on Instagram, the guy that's really jacked and you want to do his workout routine. Like it's not, studies continue to show that literally if you can just carry, like you grab some 20 or 30 pound weights and you just carried it around the room for 10 minutes, the full body benefits of that is astounding. Whether you're a man or a woman, specifically with women, if you can, you know, I think it's something like 30% of your body weight. If you can carry your body weight 30%, whether it's kettlebells or you grab some jugs of water, like whatever it is, and you can just walk up and down the street, like the benefits of that are astounding. So, you know, it just, we have to, again, rethink how we understand everything, you know, when it's fitness and parenting and all that. It doesn't have to be perfect. You don't have to have a full gym setup.
Yep.
You know, you can just have two dumbbells that are 25 pounds and you can literally change your life with that. Yep. I love what you said about push-ups, you know, do some push-ups when the pasta's getting cooked, you know, like there's so many things you can. And also, by the way, the reason I lean so hardcore in fitness is now I don't work out. I used to work out for vanity. I used to work out because I wanted to look good for my wife, or when I was single, I wanted to look good to pick up chicks. Right. But it was always vanity. Now it's like, I need to be strong for my daughter.
Yep.
You know, she works out with me, by the way. She's in the garage and she has these fake 3D printed toddler weights. They're hilarious. It's like dumbbells and barbells and she has all this stuff. Right. And she just works out with me because I want her to see it. I want her to understand what I'm doing. And a lot of people have messaged me like, dude, why don't you guys just like play with blocks and shit instead? Like, you're wasting her time in the gym. I go, no, because even if she stares at me for 30 minutes, she knows daddy 3 days a week goes in the gym and works out. Yep. That teaches her discipline. That lets her understand that I have a routine and I stick to a routine no matter what. And she'll have that routine as well when she gets old enough. And maybe it's not working out for her. Maybe it's reading a book in the garage. Maybe it's, you know, she's going to have that routine where she's like, daddy and mommy have a routine and they're disciplined. Yep. And that's how they learn these traits.
Yeah, you're teaching her healthy habits, right? And you're also showing her like there are things beyond the screen, right?
Bingo.
Right? So you're modeling the behavior that you want her to be able to pick up later in life, right? It's so smart. And I don't personally get the criticism of why people would say like, why aren't you playing with blocks instead of doing this? Like you are doing an activity together, right? Mm-hmm. And it's bonding time for you, but you're modeling this specific behavior that you are hoping that she will be able to pick up later on and demonstrating to her there are alternatives to some of the easier things to do in life, like picking up your phone and doom scrolling.
Yeah.
So exactly. This is great. I want to move on to the speed round now. We're going to kind of totally flip the script here and just go into the questions that have nothing to do with anything, but that'll be fun. So 5 quick questions. What's the first kids show theme song that comes to mind?
Oof. That's not really a kids show because we don't do TV, but Moana.
Moana, okay.
You're welcome. by The Rock.
Yeah. I'll be stuck in my head now. What was your very first job?
A movie theater. Regal Cinemas.
Excellent. Concessions, ticketing, that kind of stuff.
Oh, dude, I did everything. I started as ticketing, and then I went to concessions, and then I was the concession supervisor. Uh-huh. Wait, with that extra 10-cent raise. Yeah, I did everything.
Move that up. Would you rather spend 24 hours with a toddler-sized T-Rex or a T-Rex-sized toddler?
Oh, man. Ugh. Man, that's a tough one. Yeah. They both don't seem very good. But I guess a toddler-sized T-Rex.
Why do you say that?
easier to manage, I suppose.
Okay.
As opposed to the bigger one.
Right.
Because my toddler now is, you know, up to my knees and she's a handful. I can't imagine any bigger than that.
That's right. Right. When she's towering over you, it's that age. That'd be pretty scary.
Yeah.
What's your go-to karaoke song or the one you would sing if you had to?
Maybe Polly Want a Cracker. Well, Polly by Nirvana.
By Nirvana. Okay. Yeah. Great tune. What's the weirdest thing you've ever carried around in your bag, briefcase, or pockets?
Peanut butter and jelly sandwich, unwrapped. Not my doing, but a couple months ago, my toddler, unknowingly to me, shoved a half-eaten, unwrapped peanut butter and jelly sandwich in my pocket, and I didn't know for like 10 minutes, and then I opened it up, and it was a melted PB&J in my pocket.
Wow.
So that was fun.
I'm not sure fun would have been the word I would have used to describe it, but to each their own.
Yeah.
What an experience that must have been. Tony, this is awesome. Before we wrap up, I want to give you the floor. You're building some really meaningful, really cool things right now. Where should people go if they want to learn more, get involved, or, you know, pick up a sweatshirt or something?
Thanks, man. Yeah. I mean, the best way is probably you could go to my website, theberardo.com, to find everything, or my Instagram. I post, you know, 5 times a week on there, all everything I'm doing, and that's at theberardo. So, and my handles are the same across all platforms.
Excellent.
But yeah, we got the podcast going. We got the apparel, you know, brand going, and things are good, man. Life is good.
That's awesome. Well, Tony, I really appreciate this conversation. I appreciate how honest and grounded you are, right? Like, you could have gone a lot of different directions and you could have, you know, swept over things or, you know, not really acknowledge some of the hard truths that you've lived through. You didn't sugarcoat the trade-offs. You made it clear that, or to everybody, you've made it clear that you chose family first. And it doesn't mean you gave up on meaningful work either, right? You found work that is meaningful to you and still be there for your family. And the way you show up is really impressive, both as, you know, as a dad and a human. And I think the work you're doing to help other dads is to feel kind of less alone is really commendable. So I appreciate you, not only the work that you're doing, but for sharing your story with us today. And finally, before you go, if you're a dad listening to this and you find yourself in between navigating a season that feels different, head to gap2gig.com and subscribe to the Gap to Gig newsletter. It comes out every Friday and it's a quieter space to reflect on work, life, and what really matters right now. And if this conversation resonated, consider sending it to another dad who might need to hear it. Until next time, I'm Michael Jacobs. Thanks for showing up and listening to Gap to Gig.